From noble hearts, the lessons flow. The path of truth they always show. Noble personalities, noble personalities, noble personalities.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Noble Personalities. Inshallah Azawajal, in today's episode and program we are going to discuss the spiritual eminence of Sayyidina Bayazid al-Bistami rahimahullah ta'ala. Subhanallah, when we mention the pious predecessors, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Sayyidina Bayazid Bistami rahimahullah ta'ala is one of the great awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a saint. And who is a saint? Who is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Simply put is that a saint and a wali is that person jisko dekhne se khuda yaad aaye. You know, when we see them, they remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's inshallah azza wa jal recite salawat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the beautiful hadith, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together salu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya brothers, the awliya of Allah, such as Sayyidina Bayazid Bistami rahimahullah ta'ala and many other awliya that have existed in the past in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that without doubt the blessed Anbiya alayhi wa sallam were the awtad of the earth, and when the succession of the blessed Anbiya alayhi wa sallam ended, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a group of people from the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their deputy, who are called Abdal rahimahullah. These pious people were not superior to others because of their abundant fast, salah, and glorification of Allah azza wa jal, but rather they were superior because of their good manners, high and true level of piety, righteous intentions, and protection of their heart from the hatred towards Muslims, forbearance, patience, and wisdom for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humility without weakness, and because of their well-wishing towards all Muslims. Thus, they are the deputies of the blessed Anbiya. They are the group of people whom Allah azza wa jal has chosen for Himself, His knowledge and His pleasure. There are 40 Siddiqeen, 30 of them are such whose trust in Allah Azza wa Jal is similar to the trust of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Through the sake of these awliya ikram, the living beings, people who are alive, are prevented from calamities and troubles are removed from people. Rain also falls and sustenance is provided for their sake. The death only befalls on any of them when Allah Azza wa Jal appoints another as His successor. They do not curse anyone, and nor they cause inconvenience to their subordinates. They do not oppress their subordinates, and nor do they consider them to be inferior. Further, they are not jealous of those who are superior to them, and nor do they feel greedy for worldly things. They do not remain silent to show off, and nor are they arrogant. They do not become humble to show off either. They are the nicest people to talk to and are more ascetic when it comes to controlling their nafs, their desires. They are by nature generous. They always protect themselves from all such acts which were disliked by the pious predecessors. And they don't change, such as one day they are engrossed with the divine fear and the next day they are totally heedless. But rather, they always remain unchanged. They have a special spiritual link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Neither the windstorm nor the fastest horses can catch up to them. Their hearts rise enthusiastically towards the sky for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu then recited Surah Al-Mujadala, verse number 22. Ulaika hizbullah, ala inna hizballahi humul muflihun. This is the fold of Allah. Do you hear? The fold of Allah is successful. Subhanallah. So yes, it is of vital importance for the devotees of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to always remain connected to the Awliya Allah. It is mentioned in the Ashar, Mujhko Allah se mahabbat hai, ye usi ki ata wa rahmat hai, jisko sarkar se mahabbat hai, uski bakhshish ki ye zamanat hai, aal wa ashab se mahabbat hai, aur sab awliya se ulfat hai. Subhanallah. Pious saints do not care for worldly positions, posts, and desires for fame. The pious predecessors, the pious saints, were the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pious saints are still the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ummah and are the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pious saints always live a simple life instead of living a luxurious and comfortable life. They follow the Sharia strictly. The pious saints cleanse their inner self, and the pious saints connect the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Allah azza wa jal, and also make them the beloved bondmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One can make his world and the hereafter better by having the company of the pious saints and attain abundant goodness. The pious saints are not afraid of anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite being pious and abstinent, the pious saints remain afraid of the fear of hell. The pious awliya always remain busy with the divine worship. The awliya ikram fulfill the needs of the creation. A wali of Allah gets the knowledge of unseen by the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pious saints are aware of the conditions of the hearts. They even make a person deserving of heavenly palace in this world. Let's inshallah listen to a faith-refreshing saintly miracle of a majzoob pious saint, Sayyidina Bahlul Dana rahimahullah ta'ala, and develop devotion towards the pious saints such as Sayyidina Bayazid Bistami rahimahullah ta'ala. Zubaida Khatun, the wife of Khalifa Harun Rashid, was a pious woman who had great love and devotion to the pious predecessors. Once she was going somewhere with her maid servant. During the journey, she saw in a valley that Sultanul Ashiqin Sayyidina Bahlul Dana rahimahullah was making something with the pieces of stone. She got off the riding animal and went to Sayyidina Bahlul Dana rahimahullah and stood there respectfully. But he did not pay any attention to her. Mustering courage, Zubaida Khatun asked, "Your Honor, what are you making?" And he rahimahullah replied that he was making a heavenly palace. Zubaida Khatun asked a question again, "Will you sell this heavenly palace to me?" And he rahimahullah replied, "I will definitely sell it." Having heard this answer, she was over the moon. In the same hopeful tone, she asked again, "At what price?" He replied, "For 1 dirham. Subhanallah. Listening to the reply, Zubaida Khatun paid the price immediately. After receiving the price, Sayyidina Bahlul Dana rahimahullah picked up a stick and he said, while he was drawing a line on the ground and he built a small clay house. And he says, "I have sold this heavenly palace to Zubaida Khatun for 1 dirham. Having heard this, Zubaida Khatun became happy with this assurance that she had got the permit of paradise while living, subhanallah, while she was still alive. After receiving this good news, Zubaydah Khatun went to the royal palace. It was the last portion of the night. She finished tahajjud salah and supplications and was just about to retire to her bed. Suddenly, Harun Rashid came and started saying to Zubaydah Khatun, "Today, when I lay on bed after offering tahajjud salah, I fell asleep. And then what I saw was that I was moving about in a garden. I was informed upon asking that it was Jannatul Firdaus. I saw Zubaydah Khatun written in green color on a door at a height. I entered the palace with this hope that perhaps my name would also be written. I traveled for miles but found only your name everywhere." Harun Rashid asked Zubaydah Khatun about it, and Zubaydah Khatun related the event that occurred the previous evening. Harun Rashid said, "Take me to Sayyidina Bahlul Dana rahimahullah as well." Zubaydah Khatun took him to Sayyidina Bahlul Dana rahimahullah. Like before, he was still busy making clay houses in a deserted area, and Harun Rashid rahimahullah went to Sayyidina Bahlul Dana rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and he paid salam respectfully and asked about the price for a heavenly palace. Sayyidina Bahlul Dana rahimahullah replied, "Its price is your entire kingdom." Feeling surprised, Harun Rashid humbly said, "Your honor, how did the price of heavenly place and the heavenly palace increase so much suddenly overnight, though you sold it to my wife for one dirham?" Giving the news of the unseen, Sayyidina Bahlul Dana rahimahullah said, "Zubaydah Khatun did not come to me after seeing paradise, whereas you have come to me after viewing paradise." Having heard this, Harun Rashid started crying and humbly said, "Your Honor, I am ready to pay its price by giving away my kingdom. Now give me the permit of owning this piece of paradise." Sayyidina Bahlul Dana rahimahullah said, "What will I do with your kingdom? Your kingdom does not even bear the value of the least important things in my sight. Take your kingdom and the permit of paradise as well." Subhanallah, subhanallah. Takhte sikandari pe wo thookte nahi hai, bistar laga hua hai jinka teri gali mein. Subhanallah, we have learned how, subhanallah, the pious saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as Sayyidina Bahlul Dana rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, what is their status in the divine court of Allah azza wa jal, how elevated it is. And if he had wished, he could have accumulated plenty of treasures for himself and would have lived a comfortable and luxurious life, but may he be sacrificed for the awliya Allah. Despite having so much of power, he rahimahullah did not leave anything for himself. However, he would give a heavenly palace out of magnificent heavenly palaces from paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From this parable, it's been understood that the pious saints rahimahumullah, they attained the knowledge of the unseen by the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Harun Rashid asked about the reason for increasing the price of the heavenly palace, given the news of unseen, Sayyidina Bahlul Dana rahmatullahi ta'ala replied that Zubaydah Khatun did not come to me after seeing paradise, whereas you have come to me after viewing the paradise. One Madani pearl from this parable we can take away is that it is not necessary for a pious saint to publicize himself, wear prominent robe and wear turban, have a long queue of devotees through which his sainthood may be recognized and he becomes famous, but rather the pious saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are found even among common servants. Therefore, we should respect every righteous person, because anyone among them can be a hidden wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the inhabitants of paradise are the ones who have dusty faces, scattered hair, and wear old and torn clothes. They are not paid any attention. These are the people who are not given permission if they want to go to the kings. If they send a proposal of nikah to women, they are refused. When they talk, they are not heard. Their deeds and their needs create panic in their hearts. These are paradise deserving people. If the noor of any one of them is distributed amongst all people on the day of judgment, it will suffice everyone. At another place it is stated, if many scattered hay people who are kicked out from homes vow to Allah Azza wa Jal, He Azza wa Jal fulfills it. Elaborating on the part of the hadith, many scattered hay people who are kicked out of homes, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khanaimi rahimahullah ta'ala says that the blessed commandment does not mean that they go to the houses of worldly people and are kicked out of them. They do not go to the houses of everyone, but Allah Azza wa Jal. It means that the world does not know about them. If they go to someone else, he does not like to meet them because Allah Azza wa Jal has concealed them from the worldly people, as a ruby is hidden in mountains or pearl is hidden in the ocean, so that people do not waste their time. This blessed part of the hadith, that if they vow to Allah Azza wa Jal, He Azza wa Jal fulfills it, may have two meanings. One is that if the person vows to Allah Azza wa Jal, then asks for something such as, "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have the qasam of your honor and glory, please do it," then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely does it. This is a firm determination of a bondman from his Lord. And secondly, if the person swears an oath on the divine work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then informs people, Allah azza wa jal fulfills his oath. For example, if he says, "I swear to Allah azza wa jal, you will be blessed with a son," or "I swear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will rain today," so Allah Azza wa Jal does it in order to make His word true. Allah, Allah, Subhanallah. Bikhre baal, azurda surat hote hain kuch ahle mahabbat, badr magar ye shaan hai, unki baat natale Rabbul Izzat. Allah, Allah, Subhanallah. This is the eminence of the great saints of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the pious bondmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of them was the pious saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom we are discussing today, the spiritual eminence of Sayyidina Bayazid al-Bistami rahimahullah ta'ala. This great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Bayazid al-Bistami rahimahullah, was a saint from birth. The signs of his sainthood appeared while he was in his mother's womb. His noble mother says that when Bayazid was in my womb, if I consumed anything of a doubtful permissibility, I would feel great unease until I put my finger in my throat and vomited it out. The pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, avoided doubtful matters as well as forbidden matters. The situation today is so dire that people do not hesitate to engage in defective and, you know, those actions that are forbidden. And they even consume the haram means of food. For example, some people earn and consume unlawful wealth through usurious transactions, bribery, deliberately weighing and measuring items inaccurately, and lying in business. Similarly, many neglect their duties at work, yet take full pay without remorse because their conscience have died. Sayyidina Bayazid al-Bistami rahimahullah was exceptionally dutiful to his mother. By virtue of his obedience, Allah Azza wa Jal granted him a lofty rank. He said, "The honor and greatness Allah Azza wa Jal has given me are due to the fact that I greatly served my mother." He was so obedient to his mother that examples like his are very rare, such as the one that is mentioned, that Sayyidina Bayazid Bustami rahimahullah himself has related it. "Once in a cold winter night, my mother asked me to bring her a glass of water. When I returned with the glass of water, by that time she had fallen asleep. I stood by her bedside, holding the glass until the water in it was frozen due to the immense cold. When my mother awoke, she asked with affection and concern, 'Son, were you standing with the water all night?' I replied, yes, you asked for water, and when I returned with it, you fell asleep. Out of respect, I could not wake you, so and also did not want you to wake up and suffer from thirst while no water was available. Truly, this story is brimming with the spiritual, subhanallah, enthusiasm of obedience to one's parents. And it holds a great lesson for us. On one hand, Sayyidina Bayazid Bistami rahimahullah cared so deeply for his mother that he attained a high rank in sainthood in wilayah. On the other hand, ordinary people like us, who outwardly may appear pious or devoted to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but if our mother asks or speaks to us, we ignore her or respond harshly. If we do not understand her words, we immediately retort with phrases like, I don't have time, or I'm sleeping. Or if some even go on to the extent of even using harsher words, for example, have you lost your mind, and so on. When our attitude to our mothers is like this, how can our hearts truly focus on ibadah and worship? How will our habit of committing sins be corrected? How will our conscience awaken? How will humility and devotion manifest in our salah, in our prayers? Unfortunately, who knows how often we scold our parents during the day. If anyone snaps at their parents because they do not offer salah, this is also not allowed, because this is a matter between them and their Lord. Our duty is to obey our parents in all matters that fall within the bounds of Islamic law. If they instruct us to go against the Islamic law, obedience is not required in that instance, because we are not commanded to follow our parents in matters that go against the Sharia. Fortunate are those people whose parents depart from this world while in the state that they are pleased with their children. Amir al-Sunnah, Shaykh al-Tariqat, Damat Barakatum al-Aliya, he says that, Alhamdulillah, my heart is very much content regarding obedience to my parents. And this is because I never even saw my father's shadow. I was probably only 1.5 or 2 years old when my father passed away. So I never had the opportunity of talking to him, let alone displeasing him. My mother, Alhamdulillah, was alive, and she departed from this world in a state where she was pleased with me. It is possible that the attention so many people give me today is a blessing of my mother being pleased with me. My mother passed away on a Thursday, but 3 days earlier on a Sunday, she had a heart attack, which the family did not realize. I did suspect it was a heart attack. However, I gathered the family together and led them in collective repentance. Alhamdulillah, my mother also repented and recited the testimony of faith. Alhamdulillah, my mother had such awareness of her faith that if anyone in the family uttered an inappropriate phrase, she would tell everyone to repent and recite the kalima of faith, the testimony of faith. Sometimes she would even ask me whether something she had said might amount to disbelief. On the final day, which was the 17th night of Safar, and it was a Thursday, I was attending a congregation when I was urgently called home. When I arrived, my mother could no longer speak and was on the verge of death. We recited Surah Yasin, and at around 10:15 p.m., her soul departed peacefully. Later, my elder sister told me that my mother's last words were reciting the testimony of faith and seeking forgiveness, and she was yearning for me, repeatedly saying, call my son quickly, I don't want him to be far from me. On the day of her passing, before Isha Salah, I had dinner with my mother. As I was about to leave to pray, she said to me, come close, I want to kiss your hands. I replied, no, I should rather kiss your hands. However, my mother departed from this world in a state where she was very pleased with me. Human nature sometimes leads to you know, leads us to fall short in obedience to our parents. Therefore, on occasions such as Laylatul Bara'a, the arrival of Ramadan, and other significant days and nights, we should seek forgiveness from our parents, and if possible, we should seek forgiveness from all family members. We should leave no stone unturned to make amends. Keep your parents happy as much as you can. If they ask for money, give them more than what they ask. They ask, for example, let's say for £1, give them £5 instead. If they request $10, give them $50 instead. By serving your parents in this way, they will pray for you. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, you will then succeed in both the worlds. Remember, if your parents command something against Islamic law, then in this case, do not obey them. For example, if they tell you to shave your beard, then don't do it. For if you do, then you will be sinful. In matters where Allah and His Messenger Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given a command, it is not permissible to obey anyone else, even your parents. Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami rahimahullah ta'ala served his mother with devotion and sought her prayers. Once, while reciting Surah Luqman at a madrasa, he reached this verse. And this verse, where it is mentioned in Surah Luqman, verse number 14, "Be grateful to me and your parents." He went to his mother and said, "I cannot fulfill the rights of two beings at once. So either you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to entrust me to you, so I may continue serving you, or relinquish all your rights and entrust me to Allah Azza wa Jal, so that I may devote myself fully to worshipping Him." Since his mother was a pious and virtuous woman, she replied, "My son, I relinquish all my rights and entrust you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." After this, Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah traveled to Syria and immersed himself in ibadah. He undertook spiritual struggles in desert for 3 years. He was so immersed in the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal that he did not eat. Remember, such people are granted spiritual sustenance, meaning Allah Almighty grants them unseen strength by which they no longer depend on food or drink. Sayyidina Bayezid al-Bistami rahimahullah ta'ala visited many pious predecessors rahimahullah ta'ala and gained spiritual benefit from their company. Among these blessed personalities was Imam Jafar Sadiq rahimahullah. And Sayyidina Bayezid rahimahullah remained in the service of Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala for a long time. One day the Imam said, "O Bayezid, bring me the book that is kept in that niche." He required, "Where is that niche?" Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala said, "You have been with me for so long, but you still do not know where the niche is." He replied, "How could I? I never ever raised my head to look around while in your company." Hearing this, the Imam became exceptionally happy and said, "Now you are perfect. Return to Bistam." When a person is in the company of elders, teachers, or spiritual masters, instead of looking around or inquiring about others, he should sit with his head lowered and in utmost respect. He should consider himself an empty bowl, because only an empty vessel can be filled, and one that is already full cannot receive any more. Sometimes people go to scholars or spiritual masters and test them by asking all kinds of questions, unaware that they are being tested. Remember, if your reverence is complete, you will surely receive spiritual benefits. How they are received can be understood from this account, that a group of thieves once set out to loot, and they stayed in an inn and pretended to be travelers on the path of Allah. The innkeeper was a pious man, and with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he treated them well. The next morning, the thieves left, and after stealing during the day, They returned in the evening to the same inn. To their amazement, the innkeeper's son, whom they had seen crippled the night before, was now walking freely. They asked the innkeeper, Is this not the same crippled boy we saw yesterday? He replied with great reverence, Yes, he is the same boy. They asked, How did he recover? He replied that this is all due to your blessings, because you are the travelers on the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whatever food was left over from what you had eaten, we fed to our crippled son with the intention of healing, and we massaged his body with your leftover water. Allah Azza wa Jal cured him through the blessings of your leftover food and water. When the thieves heard this, tears began to flow from their eyes. They cried and said, This is only a result of your good opinion of us. In reality, we are grave sinners. We are not travelers on the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, but we are thieves. This favor from Allah Azza wa Jal has touched our hearts. We take you as our witness that we repent. From that moment on, they repented and they adopted the path of piety, remaining steadfast upon their repentance until their final breath. Dear brothers, did you see that? The disabled child recovered due to the leftovers of the robbers. This was the result of the inn owner's true devotion. He served the robbers, believing them to be travelers on the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, when in reality, they were thieves. Remember this. The matter is entirely one of devotion. If we look at something through the lens of devotion, we will perceive one thing. But if we look at the very same thing through the lens of criticism, we will perceive something else entirely. If we approach a person with love and devotion, we will even smell fragrance from the sweat. However, if we approach them with the intention of criticism, even their fragrance will smell like an odor to us. Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah was extremely careful in observing proper decorum. He would avoid the company of anyone he saw acting disrespectfully. Hence, he went to visit a renowned elderly person about whom he had heard much praises. During the visit, the elder spat in the direction of Qibla. Upon seeing this, Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami rahimahullah left, saying that this person is not trustworthy regarding one of the prophetic etiquettes. How can he then be trustworthy regarding the sainthood that he claims? Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Out of respect, whenever Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami rahimahullah walked towards the masjid for salah, he would not spit on the road as he was about to present himself before Allah Almighty. Reflect over our own condition, that we spit anyway, carelessly, wherever we want. And some people do not hesitate to spit and clear their noses on the streets of Makkah and Medina, even though these are the blessed streets and had the honor of kissing the sacred feet of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, in situations of a genuine necessity like a medical condition, a person is excused, but one is not compelled to spit on roads and alleyways, right? Remember that spitting on roads is a type of misconduct, and in sacred cities like Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara, greater caution is required. In essence, the more respect we observe, inshallah, the more benefit we will receive. The respectful is blessed whilst the disrespectful is deprived. As the saying goes, Ba'adab ba'nasib, be'adab be'nasib. Ultimately, unless a person acts upon Islamic law, he cannot achieve any rank on the spiritual path. In this age, some people neglect their salah, shave their beards, or keep them very short. Yet they call themselves masters of tariqah, right? And making grand claims of spiritual status due to the public's lack of religious knowledge, Many people today are running their own businesses in the name of tariqah. When we go for Hajj, we put up a Hajj Mubarak sign on our homes, wear the ihram with a great pomp and show, and take pictures at the airport. Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami's Hajj journey was very unique, and we should learn something from this journey. During his travels, he would offer 2 rakats of salah every few steps, and then he would say, since I am going to present myself before the greatest king, I must proceed in this manner. In this unique way, it took him 12 years before he finally reached Makkah Mukarramah. Allahu Akbar. The following year, after performing Hajj, Sayyidina Bayezid al-Bistami rahimahullah set out for Medina Munawwara with hundreds of people accompanying him, since he loved solitude and disliked being surrounded by crowds, meaning because excessive praise and attention often distract a person from ibadah. He devised a way to separate himself from them. He placed a heavy load on a camel, which astonished the people, and they exclaimed, "You have burdened a helpless animal with so much of weight." He replied, "Look closely. Is the load on the camel or on something else?" When they observed carefully, they saw that the luggage was not on the camel, but suspended in the air. Their eyes widened in amazement, and he said to them, "I concealed myself from you, and you became suspicious of me for burdening a helpless animal. Now, when I show you reality, you do not have the courage to bear it." After saying this, he freed himself from the crowd and continued on his own. Subhanallah. These are the awliya Allah, and this is their spiritual teaching. Thus, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, listen to a beautiful kalam. Thereafter, we shall return and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madina. Madina. Madina, phir ja rahe hain ahle mohabbat ke qafle, phir yaad aa raha hai Madina. Phir Madine, phir Madine ki janib chale qafle, phir meri beqarari ke din aa gaye. Zira ki fazaon mein bula lo phir gumbad khazra ki fazaon mein bula lo phir gumbad khazra ki fazaon mein bula lo phir gumbad Zira ki faza mein bula lo, mujhe bula lo, shahe Madina, ye hijr ka gham sata raha hai, main dar pe yahi to armaan dil mein toofaan macha raha hai phir gumbad khazra ki fazaon mein bula lo راہ کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا کر مجھے دیوانہ بنا لو، قدموں سے لگا کر مجھے دیوانہ بنا لو، دنیا کی محبت کو میرے دل سے نکالو، دنیا کی محبت کو میرے دل سے نکالو، پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو، یا شاہ مدینہ میری امداد کو آؤ، یا شاہ مدینہ میری امداد کو آؤ، آفات و بلیات کے پنجوں سے نکالو، آفات و بلیات کے پنجوں سے نکالو، پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو، مدفن ہو عطا میٹھے مدینے کی گلی میں، یا نبی التجا ہے یہ میری موت مجھ کو مدینے میں آئے، جان قدموں میں نکلے نبی کے اور وہیں مجھ کو دفنایا جائے، مدفن ہو عطا میٹھے مدینے کی گلی میں، للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو، للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو، للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو، پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو، فرقت میں تڑپتے ہیں جو مسکین بیچارے، فرقت میں تڑپتے ہیں جو مسکین بیچارے، اسباب عطا کر کے انہیں در پہ بلا لو، اسباب عطا کر کے انہیں در پہ بلا لو، پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو، محبوب خدا سر پہ اجل آ کے کھڑی گئے، محبوب خدا سر پہ اجل آ کے کھڑی گئے، شیطان سے عطار کا ایمان بچا لو، شیطان سے عطار کا ایمان بچا لو، پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو، سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو،
ہے سہنا دشوار یہ جدائی میری ہو در تک شہا رسائی، نہیں بھروسہ زندگی کا یہ دل میرا ڈوبا جا رہا،
سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم۔ ویلکم بیک ٹو یور ویورز۔ سبحان اللہ، بیوٹیفل کلام ود ریگارڈس ٹو اے پلی دیٹ از پریزنٹڈ ان دا کورٹ آف دا بیلوڈ حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ٹو کال اس ٹو مدینہ منورہ۔ اللہ عز و جل ایکسپٹ، آمین بجاہ النبی الامین۔ ناؤ وی آر کنٹینیوئنگ اور ٹوڈیز ٹاپک، اینڈ دیٹ از دی spiritual eminence of Sayyidina Bayazid al-Bistami rahimahullah ta'ala, a great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great wali of Allah azza wa jal. Once a man came to Sayyidina Bayazid al-Bistami rahimahullah ta'ala and he said that, help me become sincere so that my affairs may be set right. He replied that for 30 years I have been imploring Allah Almighty to grant me a sincere heart, saying, O Allah, bless me with a sincere heart, but I have not yet succeeded in attaining it. When my own heart is devoid of sincerity, how can I cast a glance of sincerity upon you? The people of the past had such reverence for the righteous awliya, and they believed that even one sincere glance from them could transform their lives. Those saints, despite their high status, displayed immense humility, such that Sayyidina Bayazid al-Bistami rahimahullah did not consider himself sincere and turned the man away. This was his humility. Once Sayyidina Bayazid al-Bistami rahimahullah was overwhelmed by the fear of Allah azza wa jal, and his body began to tremble. A disciple, surprised at this state, he asked, we also fear Allah azza wa jal, but how does this condition overcome you? He answered that the spiritual rank that I have attained is the result of 30 years of effort and struggle against the nafs. How can I make you grasp in a moment what took me 30 years to achieve? Sayyidina Bayazid Bustami rahimahullah fought his nafs for 30 years before attaining a lofty rank. We, on the other hand, wait to attain and learn everything immediately. Everything must be instant. No, it requires those struggles. Sometimes those who join the religious environment of Dawat Islami they desire to become preachers as soon as possible. A child who has just learned to speak cannot graduate from university. He must work hard for many, many years to achieve that. SubhanAllah. And these awliya Allah, these to teach people wisdom, these finer points. Sayyidina Bayazid al-Bistami rahimahullah was a great saint of high rank, blessed by Allah Azza wa Jal with saintly marvels and miracles. Once the Muslims were fighting an army of disbelievers in Rome, the Islamic force began to retreat. A soldier in the Muslim army was a great devotee of Sayyidina Bayazid Bustami rahimahullah. In desperation, he called out, "O Shaykh Bayazid, assist us." At that very moment, a terrifying fire appeared. The army of disbelievers fled and the Muslims were granted victory. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Dear brothers, though Sayyidina Bayazid Bustami rahimahullah attained a high spiritual rank, his self-accountability and tender-heartedness were profound. And one night he stood on the roof of his house silently, holding on to a wall for the entire night. As a result, blood began to pass in his urine. When people asked him the reason, he explained that there are two reasons. First is that I was deprived of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala last night. Second is that I committed a sin in my childhood. The fear of these two things overwhelmed me, such that it felt as though my heart was bleeding and that blood came out through my urine. Allah, Allah, Allah. We, on the other hand, we can spend our nights in heedlessness, sleep. We are asleep while the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicate their nights in ibadah and worship. Sayyidina Bayazid Bustami rahimahullah explained how a childhood sin weighed so heavily upon him. The sin of a minor is not recorded, but despite this, he was so fearful that blood appeared in his urine due to the physical stress he experienced out of remorse over his childhood sin. But we adults fully aware that certain actions are sinful and acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet we commit them openly without hesitation. We sleep through the Fajr Salah oblivious to the fact that our family and neighbors may notice our negligence. When we have no fear of Allah azza wa jal, what is left to fear anyone else? When we feel no shame before the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what shame remains before anyone else? Sharme nabi khaufi khuda, ye bhi nahi, wo bhi nahi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill in our hearts the fear of Allah azza wa jal for the sake of the beloved saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
From noble hearts the lessons flow, the path of truth they always show. Noble personalities, noble personalities, noble personalities.